If you are pitching to a national audience, it has been helpful to me when there is a B-roll link at the bottom. All I have to do is download it.
Welcome to the Stream Podcast, where we break down what is trending and why it matters. I'm one of your hosts, Allie Warshavsky.
And I'm Owen Clark.
And today we are talking about something that is the ultimate small talk starter, the weather. It seems to dictate our days now, whether we go into the office in this hybrid work environment or we don't, what we wear. I mean, it's really something we have to think about first thing in the morning.
I will say that's true. And when you suggested this topic as an idea for the podcast, I'm not sure I totally got it in terms of what it impacts for the media. But the more we dug in and where we go today, I've actually landed on the takeaway that the weather is the most important topic for news that exists out there, thematically, logistically, and financially. Like, I'm not sure the news even exists today without the weather, Allie. So I think it's a really interesting topic to cover. And you've been a longtime weather fan. Perhaps we should address off the top here.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I think it's because my parents might have left the Weather Channel on just too much when I was little, but I thought it was so cool growing up watching these reporters in hurricanes, in snow, and then I became one and I realized it's a lot more work and a lot less fun. But it did inspire us to bring on one of my old colleagues, Emmy Victor. She is a weather reporter for AccuWeather, and she travels the country doing just that. So she's living out my childhood dream. She also gets to cover a lot of things that we might not have thought are weather related or weather topics.
We both worked again in extended periods in local newsrooms, and I was working, to date myself, right when smartphones were really coming into everyone's pocket. And our feeling in the newsroom, you know, where there's a weather person, was that this was going to kill the weather segment. We all now don't need to turn into the news. We get the answer on our phone. And in so many other ways in media, that came true. And it's sort of the opposite for weather. Not only has weather survived this pivot to digital and social and phones, it's grown. It is now the top of every local news broadcast instead of when I was doing it, which is like the end of the A block. It's birthed all these dedicated weather channels specifically like AccuWeather we'll talk about today. So it's this fascinating success story within media that I think most people maybe don't think about. And it's really interesting to sort of go under the hood with someone who's covering it every single day to understand how it works and why it matters.
And that's where we bring in Emmy to the conversation, because she's someone, again, that I worked alongside when we were in Raleigh covering hurricanes. And now that she's at AccuWeather and getting pitches for national news, she really is able to break down the difference between pitching local versus national and what makes a pitch weather related. So here's Emmy to tell us more. We want to welcome Emmy Victor to the podcast. Emmy is a national weather reporter and multimedia journalist for AccuWeather. She's based in Chicago, but has been traveling the country covering severe weather. So much so, we've had such a hard time pinning her down for this podcast. So we're super grateful that it's been a mild weather week right now. We don't want to jinx it, though. But before this, she was a special assignments anchor at The Hill. But I personally know Emmy from her time as a reporter at WRAL in the Raleigh Durham area, where we were both morning reporters. I was in studio doing traffic, but Emmy was covering everything from crimes to fires to March Madness, which, as you can imagine, is a very big deal in that area of the Carolinas. So Emmy, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you both for having me. It's truly a pleasure, and I can't wait to talk a little bit more about what I do and how the weather just really impacts everything we do.
And you have about 10 years at least of journalism experience under your belt. Have you seen it change, you know, since day one you walked into your first newsroom to now sitting down for this podcast?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the industry is constantly changing. And, you know, just the pandemic itself, you know, to be able to do Zoom interviews, like just like how we are now here for this podcast. But, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, when I was entering the industry, doing a Zoom interview for a news story was not even heard of. You know, we did everything live, or, you know, you had a photographer with you. So, I mean, just the pandemic changed the industry. But even prior to that, there were so many changes from reporters becoming one-man bands and learning how to do a little bit of everything. There's been a lot of changes, but, you know, the industry continues to fight on and do its work, which is telling impactful stories and doing, you know, sharing the good news of the world, too, along the way.
Now, you said one-man band, and I know Owen and I know what that means and how hard it is. Can you explain that, and then can you also comment, are you still a one-man band tracking weather now?
Yeah, so a one-man band or a one-woman show, as I like to call it sometimes, means you do a little bit of everything. You're a reporter, so you are on camera, but off camera, you're doing a lot of different things too. So you're shooting, sometimes even yourself, meaning you'll be one person, you'll set up your own camera, you'll go in front of the camera, and then maybe do some reporting, whether that's live or maybe you're pre-recording something, but then you're also editing that. So you're taking the SD card out the camera, putting it in the computer, and doing your own editing of the videos that you shot that day for the story that you have airing that evening or maybe in the days to come. And then, you know, also I should also mention that one man bands or one woman shows, you know, we also do a lot of our own research, you know. Oftentimes you are your own assignment editor, you are your own producer as well. So you're doing the research on your phone, you're driving yourself to different stories, you're pretty much independently taking yourself from the whole process from start to finish of a story.
I think that sheds some light on why sometimes us in PR, like we're sending these press releases and people get frustrated that they're unread or, you know, not respond to. And it's like, look what this person's doing all in one day. They're lucky if they have time to eat lunch, let alone read your email.
Absolutely. You know, I do get a number of press releases a day. And I'll certainly say that I don't get to them all. You know, I will be honest about that, especially when you're kind of wearing multiple hats. But I do try to get to as many of them in the next 2 to 3 days. And then I'm also looking at them particularly to see if they have any interest to my role as a weather reporter or in any capacity of other roles I've held too. You know, does it have an interest to the audience that we serve?
Can you talk a little bit about, you cover weather, I guess, which is a little different than traditional news. I guess, can you just talk about why you made the decision to focus on that topic specifically?
Really, it came down to the pandemic just starting, and I was freelancing at the time, and I was looking to transition back into full-time work. At that same time, AccuWeather was expanding. It was looking to expand its footprint by having correspondents throughout the country covering severe weather and climate change. When I looked at the opportunity, one thing I said to myself was, well, as a general assignment reporter in Des Moines and in Raleigh, and even in my time in DC, you know, a lot of what I covered was weather. You know, 50% of the live shots and the packages I was doing was weather related in some way. So I thought it was a great opportunity to kind of focus on a beat, if you will, which I've now been doing for almost 3 years. And yeah, I just think it's such an interesting beat right now, you know, with climate change and everything that's been going on in the weather lately with more severe storms. People are paying more attention to the weather now more than at any point that I can remember. So I think it's just a really great time to be in a role of this capacity.
And why do you think, especially if you look at like the local news level, why is weather such a bad pun, but evergreen topic? Why is it something where you saw so many live shots and coverage of a topic like that seems sort of general, but why is it so good for news coverage?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first and foremost, local news newscasts, they typically start with weather. You know, they'll start with the anchors, one or two people on the desk, and they'll immediately go to your local meteorologist and say, hey, what's the weather like? Give us a 45-second weather briefing. And, you know, one of the reasons why I think weather is so important, you know, on the local scale and the national scale is because of the amount of people it impacts. You know, if there's a crime scene maybe 30 minutes away from you, or if there's a house fire an hour away from you, certainly you'll pay attention to it. But weather, you know, especially if it's, you know, forecasted to be severe weather, snow, rain, hail, sleet, those things impact a very wide-ranged area. So, you know, whether you're in the suburbs or in the city, you're definitely trying to plan your day, and you want to know if that those impacts are going to impact you wherever you're going to be that day. So I think it's just natural for us to want to know, am I dressed right? Am I planning right? Should I drive home today? Should I take the train if a light rail or whatever is available in my community? So I'm not getting soaked. So it does impact a lot more people, I think, as a whole. And I think that's why people pay a little bit more attention to it.
I think, too, it's so visual, right? Depending, obviously, if there's a storm, you are tasked with our producers and news directors, like, find a visual, interesting story. And what's more visual than the snow coming down or the trees being blown down? And I think that working in news, and I know you do, too, like, they want to lead with that most impactful thing that viewers are seeing. And obviously, they're usually a distracted audience, unfortunately. But for those that are watching, they want to capture that audience. And that's so visual. And unfortunately for you, pretty hard to capture if you're out there alone in one of these hurricanes or snowstorms. You know, what is some of the hardest stories you've covered in terms of weather? Has it been out in the storms?
Yeah, you know, I think since my experience covering weather has ranged so many different, you know, cities, you know, I've learned so much about weather everywhere I've been, where in North Carolina, hurricanes was a big focus of mine. You know, I covered hurricanes Florence and Matthew, and those truly, you know, those have such a special place in my heart. You know, to see the damage that North Carolina received from both of those storms were just devastating. And to meet the people who some still haven't recovered to this day from some of that damage, it's heartbreaking. But, you know, being here in the Midwest, where I also lived earlier in my career as a reporter in Des Moines, I've learned a lot about tornadoes and I've learned a lot about snow, you know, and those can certainly have impacts. And maybe they may not have that exact, like, devastation visual, you know, 30-foot storm surge that you may see coming out of, like, Florida and North Carolina and South Carolina, but tornadoes can happen so quickly, you know? I mean, you know, 6:10, you know, you're seeing the clouds, and then by 6:30, houses are destroyed, you know? So it can make a big impact quickly, too. Again, the visuals are there. Snow, similar, you know, in terms of the amount, you know, people are always looking for to see how much snow an area got. But I know here in Chicago, because we have the lake, you know, you can get the lake effect snow in Chicago and may not see it somewhere else, or somewhere else can get hail and you won't see it in Chicago. So, I mean, there's so much visual aspects to it. And, you know, I feel lucky that every storm I've covered, I've been able to stay safe. I cover majority of those with a photographer, because just the nature of how violent some of those storms can be. But when I am by myself, I'm being safe. I'm approaching storms carefully. I recently covered a snowstorm in Wisconsin by myself. And, you know, I had to, you know, put my senses on and say, you know, what can I do? What can't I do? You know, so I do my best. And I think all of us journalists do our best to keep ourselves safe, but also get the story out there.
What do you notice, I mean, from going from a sort of truly general local news environment to a specialized world like AccuWeather? Is there a difference in how you approach the storytelling?
Yeah, you know, here at AccuWeather, I do a lot more national storytelling. So I want to make sure that my stories impact a broader range of people, you know, where perhaps in a local news organization, I would probably go to a local nursery to talk about spring gardening and that sort of thing. But when I did spring gardening this year, I went to Lowe's or Home Depot or nationally recognized brands where people can, you know, navigate themselves through the aisles and know exactly what I was talking about in the story. So that's something I'm always looking for. And even though in some cases with weather, it may be localized to a hurricane in Florida or a tornado in the Midwest, here's where I say, all right, how does that impact anyone else? Travel. What if you happen to be traveling from New York to California the week where tornadoes are expected, or the weeks where hurricanes are expected? You're traveling, you know, considering traveling through or into Florida. So I always try to bring travel into it. If you are heading this part across the country, you may have flight delays. You may have this or that or the third that could be impacting you along the way. So that's kind of how I look at it and say, even if it's not impacting my neighborhood in Chicago or your neighborhood in Salt Lake City, Utah, how does it impact you? Speaking about Salt Lake City, another big one was the snowpack they received out there this year. Huge amount of snowpack. Same thing, you know, people like to ski out in the Northeast. Hey, maybe you didn't want to, you know, you may not want to ski out there this year. Go on to Utah. They've got a massive amount of snowpack. So yeah, always looking for that way to make it broader.
And I think you brought up a great point when you just said, like, gardening stories. I think people, when you say weather reporter, you are thinking, one, some people misconstrue that with just the meteorologist right in front of the green screen. And two, they picture, again, wind whipping you in the face out at a hurricane. But you're covering so much more. You're going to garden shops. You said you're covering climate change. I know I sent you a pitch for Bird Buddy, which would be considered something that is quote unquote weather related as well. Can you explain, like, the broad types of pitches you're working with as a weather reporter that might not just be a day of storm?
Here's a perfect example of that. You know, last year I did a story on a study that found out how dangerous bounce houses were, all because if you put a bounce house up in winds of 25 to 30 miles per hour, it can really blow the thing over if you don't have it secure tight and cause injuries to adults and children that are in it. So, you know, I'm constantly looking for stories that may, you know, impact people. You know, we're all thinking about summer parties and how to keep them fun and entertained. And I know I have younger cousins that love bounce houses, you know, so I'm looking at wind and any kind of study that may, you know, show wind as an impact. I'm looking at seasonal impacts, right? You know, preparing your home for fall, you know, preparing your home for spring, cleaning out your gutters, you know, preparing your cars for winter, winterizing your vehicles, making sure you've got those right tires, you know. Those are all just some of the many stories I do, because maybe they're not exactly me out in the field with my hair blown around and all that, but, you know, these are still stories that are weather related and still impact a lot of people as seasons change. And people are supposed to be doing those preparations to get themselves ready for whatever the seasons may bring.
And to that end, I think you sort of answered that question. But if you're a, you know, PR person in this world trying to pitch you, it sounds like tip-based informational content. Like, is there a way that you receive information from press releases or pitches that is most useful or valuable to you?
I want to speak to that on both of my weather reporter hat and also in my journalism hat as a general assignment news reporter. When I receive pitches in from PR firms, the first thing I am looking for is it visual? I remember a few years ago, I was working in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the local affiliate there. And one of the stories I was assigned to cover was Veterans Day. And I remember getting several pitches in from PR firms, please come cover our Veterans Day event, you know, and they gave me the details and where to be. But there was one that really stuck out, and it was because it had the visuals in it. It told me that if we come to this event, we'll be able to see a lawn full of American flags that would be there. And I said to myself, wow, what a great live shot. You know, I'm able to talk about Veterans Day. I've got this field of flags that was put out in front of the business that I can do a visual live shot with. She provided the interviews. She said she could be there at a certain time, gave me the list of the people who'd be ready to talk. So first and foremost, visuals, visuals, visuals. If there's a way for me to come and shoot something, I'm 10 times more likely to look at the pitch and say, okay, great. I can get there, get what I need, shoot, and then also interview in the same spot. But I will say now in my role at AccuWeather, where I'm covering more national stories, that may not always be the case. So if you are pitching to a national audience, it has been helpful to me when there is a B-roll link at the bottom. All I have to do is download it. Recently with an organization in Florida, Hurricane Ian really caused huge impacts to the citrus industry in Florida. So I wanted to cover it, but I couldn't get down there because wintertime was starting and I was getting pretty busy. They had the B-roll ready for me of citrus crops. You know, they sent me everything I needed. So all I had to do was interview the person via Zoom, credited the B-roll, and was able to get a national story out there without having to physically be there. So that's my two recommendations. But ultimately, you know, I think having the visuals is key.
No, that's great. There's so many times where clients will ask, is it worth us getting B-roll? And I'm like, it does not hurt to have it, because the worst that could happen is they don't use it, you know, but if it's there, it gives them a reason to use it or an easier reason to cover the story. You know, I think I saw this in one of your bios, but AccuWeather, you know, maybe people are aware of it or not, but I believe it's also aired at local stations, correct? So your content, not only is it airing on the AccuWeather platforms, but also could be picked up by a local affiliate?
Yes, yes. So in the past, we've had different opportunities for the work that we do here at AccuWeather to air on local affiliates. We have a partnership with ABC owned and operated stations right now, where if ABC owned stations, that includes markets like New York, San Francisco, here in Chicago, and a few others across the country, if they want to pick up the video that we received of severe weather, they send us an email, we coordinate all that on our end, and we get them the material. And they've, you know, been wonderful to work with. So some of my stories have aired from ABC New York, and then ABC News. Some of my colleagues, they've been able to get some of their work on ABC News as well. So that's been really cool. I think it's just a great way to be able to, you know, see more of our work. But if you watch an ABC owned and operated station, you'll be able to see the AccuWeather forecast. If you watch WPVI in Philadelphia, WLS here in Chicago, and several other stations, you'll see that, you know, we are providing them those superior forecasts for them to share local weather with you all too.
One of the challenges, obviously, that faces every part of the media is this idea of polarization and distrust within media, right? It feels like everything has a degree of politics associated with it. And you'd sort of assume weather is outside of that, you know, it's sort of objective. But obviously, the issue of global warming, which you mentioned earlier, is sort of polarizing in itself. How do you tackle that topic? Is it something you address explicitly? I guess, where does that fit for you all if you try and serve the news to the broadest audience?
The National Weather Service has said that climate change is happening. You know, there's plenty of articles from factual sources, government sources, that have indicated that the world has warmed by 1% over a matter of years and will continue to warm up. I see the impacts of climate change every day here in the Midwest. I live close to Lake Michigan, and I'm constantly seeing beach erosion and things like that. You know, it's a topic that I've covered particularly here in my role at AccuWeather. It's very near and dear to my heart. And I think that when there are times where someone may be skeptical of climate change and maybe some of the ins and outs of it, you know, I always just refer people to the facts. You know, there's scientific data that has shown, you know, that our Earth is changing and will continue to change. So all we can do is get ourselves ready for that, prepare ourselves, reduce carbon emissions, you know, take care of the planet around us, take care of our own communities. And I think that's just one way that we can play a small part in making a difference long term. We talk about urban heat islands. You know, our cities are getting warmer. Chicago is doing a huge study this summer. I'm going to be looking into urban heat islands right here through a sponsorship with NOAA. So it is happening. It's real. And we just got to get ready. It's impacting all of us. It's particularly impacting people of color. It's impacting women. There are studies out there that have shown how it's going to impact pregnant women, how it's going to impact so many different sectors of our society, babies, senior citizens, you know. So all I can say is just get ready. You know, more information is going to get out there, and we should all just play our part to make the world better.
And it seems like weather, too, and maybe it is climate change related, has become a growing platform, right? Because we started with just the Weather Channel. We also now have AccuWeather, obviously, Fox Weather. It just seems like as many places are shuttering and closing divisions, weather is popping up and creating whole new stations. And you got to wonder if that's because we have seen more extreme weather lately and there's just more to cover.
Yeah, you know, AccuWeather has had a unique opportunity where we really grew as a network in 2015, and we're continuing to expand our footprint here. And one of the cool things is that we're available now on a lot more platforms than we were a few years ago. Even when I joined the company 3 years ago, we're even, you know, available on smart TVs and those things now. I think there's a true interest for weather. And, you know, with the growing weather space, you know, you mentioned Fox Weather and other channels now that are surfacing Weather Nation, you know, it goes to show that cable companies like Verizon and Comcast, AT&T are looking. You know, they know that their audience has a growing desire to know more about weather and the world we live in and climate change. And they're responding to that by picking up these channels and giving us all an opportunity to share the good information. Of course, it's a competition. There's always, you know, always a little of competing, if you will, in the space. But ultimately, I think we all have the same goal, which is to provide accurate forecasts and help save lives.
It is really interesting, though, because if you think about it, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you could have needed the weather forecast, right? Like, it really did have to help you plan your day. Now I can get that information from my phone in 2 seconds. Yet, you're still seeing more media coverage of weather than maybe ever before. It's funny, like, you sort of touched on it already, but again, do you have a feel for why that is? I mean, do you think people are really watching it for that, like, information, or is it the like storytelling part that gets connected to it? Or maybe it's both. But I guess, what do you think about this idea of why people are tuning in.
You make such a great point, and I feel like there's so many different ways to answer that. Let me just start with that app portion. You know, I think that so many people are used to going on their phone and looking at their app and seeing what the weather is around them that day. That is great. That is why there are so many different platforms available. It doesn't matter how you get your alerts, just get alerts. You know, it's important, especially when severe weather is on the way, to have multiple ways to receive weather alerts. In terms of why I think that that appetite is growing, I will definitely say that the weather we're used to experiencing in certain areas has changed so much. I mean, even think about last year, two significant weather events in the New York City area. If you remember those videos that came out last year of just flooding, I mean, flooding in the New York City subway. I mean, you know, I grew up right outside of New York City. I would have never seen that growing up, you know? So, I mean, the weather that we know it, you know, with impacts of hurricanes that maybe would stay in the southeast now going to areas like New York City. My cousin's telling me that they're being flooded out in Newark, New Jersey. There was also, you know, a few tornadoes, rare tornadoes that hit southern New Jersey over the past year or so. So, I mean, we're seeing different kind of weather. I've seen more hail here in Chicago in the past 2 months than I have in the 3 years I've lived here. So, you know, so things are changing all the time. And I think that's why when I turn on MSNBC or CNN or Fox News or all the many cable providers that are out there that maybe do more general assignment news, that's why we're seeing more of that visual, those visuals on there, and that they have, you know, full-time meteorologists coming on their air more, because it's just not the same weather 20 years ago that you may have been used to seeing in your community that you're seeing now.
As you look forward, as you said, it seems reasonable to assume this extreme weather events certainly aren't going to go away. They're more likely going to increase, I guess. Do you see that more news will shift to more coverage? I guess do you have a prediction on the future of weather news or weather coverage and where it's headed?
People will continue to grow their appetite of wanting to see more of severe weather. I definitely do. You know, if you go on Twitter, I've seen more people tweeting at their local National Weather Service office with pictures than I ever have before. You know, people are saying, wow, I can't believe I've got 3-inch hail or baseball size hail in my backyard. You know, where maybe 20 years ago, they didn't quite have that. Weather is just such a changing thing right now that I wouldn't be surprised if that continues to grow, that the appetite for that people have to see it, see videos, to capture videos for themselves, to share with anyone who really wants to see it will continue to grow. Yeah.
You're right. A lot of it now is user-generated content. I'm sure you're using it in your stories that they're sending it in for you to use.
Recently, I feel like so many people have been sending us, especially because of springtime. Wow, you know, I'm at the baseball game, and next thing you know, there's this huge washout. You know, and they're taking video and they're sending it to us. You know, people just they can't believe some of the stuff that they're seeing just sitting at a baseball game, you know, or maybe they're, you know, just getting home from being in an hour of traffic because the rain was so heavy. You know, I noticed even when I walk my dog, I'll see people just taking videos of just the world we live in, you know, and just taking videos of a sunny day, of a cloudy day. We have so much user generated content that's coming into us every day because people seem to know now, if you see something kind of wacky with weather, to capture it. You know, it just seems like that's the thing to do now. Capture it because you got to prove to someone that it happened. And posting on social media, I think, is a great way to show that. And it helps the next person be prepared too.
Any weird stories you're working on coming up, or not weird, but unique, that maybe people wouldn't think were weather, like the bounce house one you put together?
Sargasm in Florida has been a pretty interesting topic that I've been covering, but also a lot of people have a lot of questions about it. I mean, the best way I can describe it is that it's the smelly seaweed that's washing up on Florida's beaches. And while it doesn't seem like it's a big deal, it kind of is, because right now, you know, we're towards the end of spring break and people already saw a lot of it in Key West, Miami. By the end of the summer, a lot of people who visit Florida's beaches are going to be smelling this stinky seaweed coming in from the ocean. So I think that's something that people should look out for in terms of very weird, unique stories. If you have a vacation plan to Florida this year, that's something to keep in mind. It may be a great vacation, but it may not smell so good. So just keep that in mind if you're going there.
So for the PR side, say we did PR for like a chamber of commerce in the area, one of those top destinations, would reaching out to you being like, hey, we know that you, you know, your station or you have been covering this, we can provide comment on what we think this might do to tourism this year. Is that a good pitch for you?
Absolutely. In fact, the first story I did on Sargassum was solely focused on tourism. Solely focused on it. And, you know, I think that's so important to keep in mind, you know, because what we're looking at when we're trying to get those pitches in from PR people are how does it impact others, you know, and in Florida, while it's a great place to live, also attracts millions of people every single year. So to have stats readily available in email from a chamber of commerce in Key West or Miami or Orlando, a place being heavily inundated right now by this sargassum, that already gives me a great place to start, you know, and maybe they can compare trends in this email. You know, are we already noticing in the past 2 months that there's less visitors to this particular area because sargassum is such a big problem? Vacation rentals, you know, a lot of people are now canceling their rentals to Florida this summer because they're like, if it's going to smell bad, I don't know if I want to be on the beach. Has it increased it in Alabama on the Gulf Shores? Has it increased more people wanting to come to North Carolina or South Carolina because of the beach situation in Florida? You know, so yes, all of that would be a great way for a chamber of commerce or a visitors bureau to reach out to us and take part of a story like that.
Good to know. We're taking notes over here. Thanks so much, Emmy. It's been great having you on the stream.
Oh, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
And thank you for listening to the stream. You can listen to more episodes wherever you get your podcasts.